هارا كريشنا وهرش وهرش in just last class you said three things are most important in ragatmika bhakti. One is japa, second one is bhajana, and third one is lila smarana. Can you throw some light upon lila smarana, how to do and how to develop taste for that lila smarana?
And practicing of any type of sadhana bhakti, whether it's Vaidhi sadhana, Raghunuga sadhana, the three essential qualities or three essential practices are, of course, Nam Sankirtan, which means with other people, or chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna Japa. And the second thing is Paricharya Seva and Prasanga Seva, which means doing seva. I mean, bhajan, the word bhajan means any type of seva. Cooking is also bhajan. Deity worship is also bhajan. All satsang is bhajan. Prakrama is bhajan. This is all. Bhajan means worship, devotional service, as Prabhupada said. So bhajan, and the third one is smaran. So generally, one can deeply do smaran when the mind is pure. Jiva Goswami says, unless the mind is pure, then it's difficult to fix the mind on one place. Because when the mind is impure, due to the disturbance of material desire and our prabdha karmas, that causes the mind to be disturbed, and it's what's called vikshep. Vikshep means distraction. So the mind, you want to smaran, there's five levels of smaran. The first one is called basic smaran, trying to remember Radha and Krishna, their names, their forms, their qualities, their pastimes. So this can be done by any devotee on any level, whether they're a so-called Vaidhi Sadaka or Raghunuga Sadaka. We're told Smartatam Satatam Vishnur. Smartatam Satatam Vishnur. We should always remember Vishnu, Vishnu or Krishna, Satatam. And Mahaprabhu tells us Kirtaniya Sadahari. And Gita is telling Satatam Kirtiyantomam. And Krishna says, Manmanabhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. Always think of me. So this is the principle of devotion, of love, of bhakti. Rupa Goswami explains in one place, he says that, I believe it's Rupa Goswami, maybe it's even in Upanishads or Purana, he says the main rule is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And then Jiva Goswami comments, he says, the main principle is remembering God. And everything else is a servant of that principle. Like you have in a kingdom, the main person in the kingdom, the Pradhan Mantri, is the king. And everyone else is serving him or connected to him. But he's the most important. So the most important element for all sadhakas, or even all human beings, is to remember God. In Bhagavad Gita, we've mentioned this before, in the eighth chapter of Gita, Krishna is talking about dying, which we all do every night. That's called Ardha Pralaya. When we sleep at night, we die. And we may never wake up. Many perfectly healthy young men, young women, or even healthy older men or ladies say, go to sleep, and they die. Not from poisoning, not from disease, not from injury, just there was their time to go. So that sleeping time is called a partial pralaya, which means death. Pralaya means extinction, devastation, maha pralaya. So there's ardha pralaya, half pralaya, then maha pralaya for the human being is Haribo, Jai Radhe. Then on to Goloka or on to the next body or wherever. So that being said, all the sages, all the shastras, everywhere they talk about remembering, remembering, remembering God, which means smaran. So in eighth chapter of Gita, Krishna is telling two verses, ante kale chama smaran mukta kaleva. And then he says, yam yam vapi smaran. So smaran, you see the word everywhere, smaran. And seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is describing the nine limbs, navavita bhakti, Which, what is it? Number four? Number three? Smara. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. Parasevanam, arjanam, dasa. Like this, bandhanam. So it can't be stressed enough, but unfortunately, due to our impure minds and the excessive impure mind means a rajasic mind, a mind full of rajagun and passion. Passion means desire. Greed is passion. Greed and lust are passion. Anger is ignorance. So these contaminations fill everyone's mind. So smaran is very difficult. We're chanting, we're doing externally with our senses, with our ears, we're hearing the holy name, and our fingers are moving on japamala, or our fingers are moving on the kartal, or mridanga, or harmonium. And we're chanting, or even doing puja, and we're totally thinking of some other crazy thing. Body is in one place, body and senses are in one place, in maya, let's say in Krishna's service, the mind is flown off somewhere. So smaran for someone who's doing, because rag marg is, it says that smarana is the life in jivanam. In Prem Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya, he says smaran is the life of the rag bhakta. And that smaran is connected to his sambandha with Radha and Krishna. And that smaran is connected to is facilitated and made possible by the purity of his mind or her mind, which has come about by many lifetimes of sadhana or intensive sadhana in this life, that one has that pure mind. Generally, 99% of the Krishna bhakts, they are not eligible for the rag marg for two reasons. The main reason is they're not interested. They have no attraction. They have no individual and personal attraction or taste or desire to want to be with that whole situation that's described by the books, to be with the eternal associates of the Lord and Vatsalya Ras or Sakya Dasya Madhurya, like the Ragatmika Janas, the fully attached and dedicated pure servants of the Lord, and Goloka Vrindavan, Braja Gokul. They say, well, that's nice. They're there, and I'm here, and I'm doing my bhakti. I'm serving my guru. I'm serving the Vaishnavas. I'm trying my best. Well, that's great. That couldn't be better. We keep going like that. But when we develop a greed for serving Radha and Krishna, like the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Yashoda, Subal, Sridham, or Lalita Vishaka, Radharani, Rupa, Sri Rupa Manjari. And then our practices of bhajan becomes more focused. So we still do everything as before. We hear and we chant and we cook and we do puja and we do kirtan and we sell books or whatever we may do. But not only is our body doing all the things we used to do as a Vaidhi Sadhaka, but our mind is connected. Like plugged in. Our mind becomes plugged in to our desired objective, our manobhishtam, our cherished goal. And it's told by our gurus that we should always stay in sarup. Always stay in the sarup. Of course, by the mercy of Krishna or Guru, by the mercy of Guru or Krishna, one acquires the realization and perception, at least he acquires the familiarity and awareness of his spiritual body or her spiritual body. So then when one has that siddha sarup has been awarded to them or been realized or given to that fortunate sadhaka, then we're told to stay in the sarup, which means mentally when we're doing all services physically, but mentally we're identifying with the sarup. And we're identifying in our sarup with the whole paradigm of the spiritual world and all the parishads, the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, that we want to move with, that we want to serve alongside, and in particular pastimes in different times of the day. For example, a Vaidhi sadhaka is cooking in a kitchen and thinking, oh, the offering goes on, we have to do this offering, in the Didi kitchen, or even at home, if you're punctual, you should be punctual. Oh, my husband's coming home. I have to make this offering at 7:45, and then boom, bang, ding, 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 this person will do that. Oh, it's getting late. And we're just looking at the clock, rolling, and then a phone comes. Oh, I'm busy, I'm cooking. And this, that. So the mind is just absorbed in the passion of the activity. It's devotion. It's devotional service, but it's not exactly the same as the mind of the Raganugya Bhakta. He's also passionately trying to cook and meet a deadline of a particular time to make the offering for Thakurji. Timely seva. Seva should be timely and nicely done with lots of devotion. Bhakti Priyachati. But then he's thinking, he or she is thinking, because their principle is, remember, identify with your sarup. This is the Abhiman. Identify internally in the mind with your sarup and within your mind that I'm there. Okay, I'm cooking this offering, but I'm so-and-so Manjari, for example, in Madhurya Bhav, Manjari Bhav. I'm so-and-so Manjari, and now it's, and even you can just, doesn't matter what time you're cooking, you say, I'm in Nandagram. It's 7:00 in the morning. And Swamini Radharani has asked me to make the chants for this dal, so I'm making the chants, but I'm remembering the lila. Everyone makes the chants, you know, they fry the spices and throw them in the dal or sabji or whatever. But the Raghunuga Bhakta, he's doing the same thing, spending the same amount of time, making the same offering, but he's so much becoming attached to Krishna because his mind is wrapped around the lotus feet of Radharani and the Parishads and the Sakhi Manjaris and Krishna's pleasure in an internal way. So his mind is very actively engaged, even though he's busy also throwing the pots around and washing and all these things. He's aware of the time, but the mind is a vast instrument. The mind, the human mind, is a very vast and powerful instrument. Scientists say there's 500 billion brain cells, and most of them are sleeping. And sometimes they take over and we fall asleep also. So this is, there's a lot of reserves there. Like there's a few soldiers fighting on the border, but there's thousands, there's lakhs of soldiers all around India. So if there's a war, then they all mobilize to the center. So the same thing, if there's need, and there's focus, and there's concentration, and appetite, and attraction, then all the 500 billion soldier-like brain cells, they come into active service, let's say, to follow the analogy. They come into active service, and they facilitate the desire of the sadhaka to remember Krishna and Radharani and the Leela, and full absorption, body, mind, senses. Mostly, the sadhaka's mind is there for most sadhakas interacting with the senses and the material energy and the dravya to produce something, to make something, to make an offering, to cook something, to write something, to be somewhere. So play this. I have to play these kartals correctly. I have to listen to the beat. I have to stay in the tal. So many things. But the Raghunuga Bhakti does all that, but then he's one step further. His mind is tuned in to the spiritual domain. And that entrance, that introduction to the eternal associates of the Lord and the access to that whole realm of inner remembrance is by the mercy of the Guru and the Paramatma, Super Soul, Chaitya Guru. If someone is very much hankering for this and he wants his mind to be there, then he'll try. And Krishna will give him the facility and give him the ability to do that, to remember. But when one has the added grace of a guru who's also practicing like this, Raghunuga Bhakta, who's practicing with smaran and maybe not necessarily a liberated soul or a siddha guru or whatever people may look for, but he or she, that advanced guru, is very much absorbed in this practice as much as possible, so then they can bless that disciple to go in the same direction, in the same line. Practically, I've seen in my own life, it's just one subjective example, which doesn't mean it's a fact for everyone, but before I was trying to remember and think of Radha and Krishna throughout the day while doing different sevas, deity worship, Thakurji seva, or cooking, or chanting japa, and wasn't sometimes you'd have a good day or things Krishna would favor you and you could stay somewhat deeper into meditating on the spiritual reality and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But these, with the mercy of Guru, who's in line with that type of bhajan, that type of thinking, I found that it becomes a little easier. Because Jiva Goswami says that this is why we hear the holy name from a guru and why we take diksha. Because Jiva Goswami says the power of our anarthas and the power of the lust, greed and anger and lust and envy and all the fault-finding tendencies that we have packed up within our chitta from lifetimes of material existence, they're too powerful for the individual sadhaka. Chanting Hare Krishna, you chant once without offenses, you get liberated. But it's so powerful, there's no limit to the power of Krishna's holy name. But the holy name is not favoring us because we're just full of offenses. So what happens when someone surrenders to lotus feet of Guru and dedicates their life to following the teachings, and which means hearing and chanting about Krishna, trying to become proper, pure, and elevated devotee by time factor, then that mercy of the sadhu comes into him, and actually it's the mercy of the saintly person, of the guru, that removes, that blows away all these anarthas and blows away all this accumulated material coverings of the jiva so that he can progress, he can steadily progress on the path of bhakti and overcome his impediments. This is the kripa factor. We say guru kripa hi kevalam. The kripa factor of the sadhu guru is that kripa enters into us like a big, you could make some analogy like a big bulldozer, you know, this caterpillar with the big treads, you know, big machine, has a big blade in the front of it, and it pushes all trees and just pushes the dirt all over the place. So in our mind is like a vast mountain of dirt and material desires and ambitions and wrong thinking. So when we take diksha, guru enters and he just pushes it away. Because if you want to drive a car through the woods or something, you can't do it. So many trees, there's somebody, of course, we don't do these things, kill all the trees. But the analogy is someone to push away all the blockage on the road so we can go clearly. So this is the power of that sadhu sangha. Because many people argue, oh, I just chant Hare Krishna by myself, I'm following the four Vedic principles, I'm doing bhakti, I have my Gornita Aditis, I'm offering my food, I'm growing Tulsi, she's very healthy, she's going very nice. So that's very nice. They're doing bhakti. It's like Bhakti Abbas. It's bhakti. It's a type of bhakti. But it'll go on for lifetimes like that. Because there's exceptions always. Bhakti is unlimitedly powerful. Bhakti is the energy of Krishna. It's the sort of Shakti of Krishna, personified as Radharani. Bhakti means the amalgamation of ladini or bliss or love potency with the awareness, cognizance or knowledge potency, samvit shakti and ladini shakti. So that's there when one is doing bhakti or even bhakti abhas, he's getting drops and sprinkles of that bhakti shakti. It's coming to him by contacting practices of bhakti. But a few drops. Like if you have a forest fire and you go up in an airplane and take an eyedropper and drop some drops on the forest fire, it's not going to put out the fire. So Vishwanath says, we have to surrender to Guru. Because if you surrender to Guru, then every morning in the Brahma Muhurta hour, you'll remember how you were burning. You and I were burning in this forest fire of material existence. Samsara davan, alalita loka, alalita loka. So much affliction and suffering and misery. Samsara davan alalita loka, chanaya karunya ganaganatvam. Your karuna is like a cloudburst. Gana. Gana means thick, condensed. Ganagatvam. That your mercy, your condensed mercy of my guru has come inside of me like a huge thundercloud, a huge rain-filled cloud. And there's a forest fire and huge clouds come over, like the Samvartika clouds of Indra, and they unleash all their rain. Then the fire's out in 5 seconds. Just out. Katamogya. So this is the mercy of the Diksha Guru. It's invisible. You can't weigh it, you can't measure it, but you can perceive it by the heavy weight and that comes off your mind. And the heavy weight comes off your mind when you take shelter of a Sadguru and surrender at their lotus feet. This is the proof of the entrance of mercy into the consciousness of the sadhaka. This is the power of Guru. Then that's just by connecting, by surrendering to Guru, Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasana Sevya. By surrendering to Guru, then all this mercy comes in to alter and change the consciousness and purify the mind, even without any sadhana. Then on top of that, we follow the sadhana schedule that Gurudev outlines. We chant so many malas and we follow the sadhana bhakti. Then that our endeavors, then that pleases Krishna even more and more. As soon as you go to a company and say, I want an insurance policy, and you pay the money. As soon as you pay the money, it's registered. Now it's active. So if you walk out of the insurance agency and a brick falls on your head and you get a big cut or you slip on the ice someplace like New York or whatever, break your leg, you know, the ambulance comes, takes you to the hospital, sets your leg, and the bill goes there. Immediately the coverage is there. So when a jiva, conditioned soul, takes diksha from guru, immediately the coverage begins, your insurance coverage. So then all your broken legs and everything, they start getting fixed up. And you can walk nicely. So smaran, to do smaran without having a guru may be very difficult. But anything's possible because Krishna's in the heart. And I was speaking one point that so much purity comes from initiation by the kripa of the guru. But then we do the abhyas, the sadhana abhyas, the daily practice of hearing and chanting and worshipping Krishna, reading Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavad Gita. These are different limbs and practices of bhakti sadhana. Then that itself is also purifying, as Krishna says in the second canto of Bhagavatam. Srinvatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana riyantak stalya badrani virunati saritsatam. Chaitu guru paramatma, super soul within our heart, Bhagavan, he has ears. Krishna has ears. Krishna has eyes. Krishna has heart. Everything. He's the supreme person, Purushottam. So he's hearing our chanting. He's seeing us reading the Shastra. He's watching us do puja. He's watching us interact with devotees. He's watching us treating the other jivas. He's recording everything. And then he's reciprocating. And he's personally, within the heart, Krishna's cleansing. So when we take diksha, Guru enters the heart. And we become purified. Then Guru stays with us forever. Called Sadguru. The sambandha with Guru is eternal, nitya. Sri Guru, Sri Guru Charan Padma, Ese Padma. Chakudano Dilaye, Jani Jani Prabhu Se. The word Se, S-E-I, means this Guru. Doesn't mean another Guru. It's very important. Jani Jani Se. Birth after birth, you, this Guru, will come. Same Guru will come to take me to Krishna. So this verse, Krishna is saying, I cleanse your heart. I cleanse the heart of the devotee. So this is the favoritism of Bhagavan. If you love me, I love you. If you surrender unto me, I surrender unto you. So when we surrender to Guru, then we become like Krishna. Atmasama. Diksha Kali Atmasama. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the principle of Diksha. So we become like Krishna means we become recognized by Krishna and accepted by Krishna. So when accepted in Krishna's family, if some new member enters your family, you and your wife produce a child. Now he or she comes in your family. Now how much before you only had care for wife and husband. Now when the child comes, so much care, protection, teaching, instruction, feeding, nourishment. 24/7 you're there for the child. Two of you. And it needs more than that also. Need a nanny, need a mother and father and a nanny and a and a few servants and a few brothers and many people to tackle these babies. You know? It's like a sumo wrestler. It's very hard to pin them down and hold them down. The baby's crying and the mother's trying to stop the crying. No success. Father tries, no success. Then the brother tries. And then nanny comes this way, and the baby stops. So just this little baby only weighs 4-5 kilos. It takes 3-4 grown men and women to control them. So that's why I say a newborn baby or a young child is like a sumo wrestler. He looks very unassuming. He looks unassuming, but he's a sumo wrestler. Oh, yeah. It's like the husband and wife are sleeping in the bed, the baby's in between. Because they can't let him out of your sight. So then he cries, the mother wakes up, and then she tries to do something, and he's crying, then the husband wakes up, hey, tell him to be quiet. And then, I can't, you try it, she can't. Then they get on the phone, hello, Ma, you call your mother, what do I do now? So I don't know, let me call my mother. So then there's a whole downline of mothers and grandmothers and everybody involved trying to solve this problem with baby sumo. Baby sumo, it's got everybody standing on their toes trying to figure out how to stop him from crying. And it's like this. So Krishna, everyone wants to be there. Everyone is there for the child to help him. So when we surrender to Krishna, then from within the heart, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtana, that when he sees that we're hearing about him, that Krishna is very happy. Krishna is happy when he hears us speak about him or serve him in any way, because these are expressions of love. Everyone becomes happy when love is showered upon them. If someone showers me with love and affection, then naturally I feel happy. Anandamaya Vyasat. We feel bliss when we're loved, and we feel unhappy when we're neglected and rejected. So when we're accepted by Krishna, he personally watches out for us and personally cleanses our heart and purifies our mind so that we can begin a life of smaran. So then when practicing smaran, like bhakti, it's very difficult in the stage of anartha nivritti. But bhakti bhajan becomes easier and easier as we progress higher and higher stages of bhakti. Nishta. So the vast intermediate zone, the vast ocean to cross, is anartha nivritti. It's like swimming across the ocean, jumping in ocean and Calcutta and swimming to New York. It's very far. But when you get to Nishta, Nishta is like landing in some island just off the American coast. And then it's a short distance. Things go very fast. So same thing with Smaran. The first stage of Smaran is called Smaran. And then there's Smarana, then Dharana, then Dhyan. You know the five stages. So the first stage is simple smaran, trying to fix Krishna in the mind, his form, his rupa. Because even the beginning of smaran is to fix Krishna's name in the mind. So we're cooking, but are we chanting? No. I'm putting on a tape. If I put on a tape, we don't even know what happened. 1 hour went by cooking, and 1 hour of katha went by, and someone said, what do you hear? I don't know. So that means the mind is not really hearing the katha. So if you're chanting out loud, say you're chanting, or chanting in the mind, probably that I feel as such, can't really exactly substantiate it, but I think that will be a better way to fix the mind in the beginning stage, nam smaran, where you're actually cooking and you're chanting in your mind. Because usually people's minds, they make it that way, and it doesn't have to be that way, but they fill up their minds, they fill the content of their conscious, aware mind, they fill the content of their mind with the awareness of the moment, what I'm doing externally, what I'm cooking, the chances. And they can't do more than that. They can hear the phone ring, they can answer the phone, maybe they can watch some little bit of TV like some karmi people do or whatever. But when you fill that, we don't realize that not only we can fill our minds with the action and activity in front of us, right now, like cooking, but we can also put Hare Krishna mantra in there also. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But to do that, we have to reduce the rajagun. Because smaran is impossible with raja. Like it says in the Gita that The yogi, his mind is like a flame of a candle in a windless place. If you go inside a room and light a candle and there's no fan and no wind, the flame, the fire burning from that candle will just keep going straight. It won't go right or left. So the mind of the yogi doesn't go right or left. It stays fixed because there's so much sattva, because of asanas and pranayama and pure food and everything. His whole body is energized and surcharged and completely balanced by sattva. So then it's easy to focus the mind. But usually the demands of the activity in front of us, whatever it is, driving the car, we make it worldly. We think it's so great that all of our conscious mind and all of our conscious attention is only right there. But we can expand the parameter, or we can actually expand the parameters and boundaries of our conscious awareness and mind by trying. So that's what my smarn is an attempt to remember, an attempt to fix the mind on Krishna. Because we're doing cooking for Krishna, but at the time of cooking, we're just absorbed in cooking. But we are at the time of cooking, we're cooking for the pleasure of Krishna, and we're trying to think like that, but then only actually think of Krishna also. That I'm in the kitchen with Radharani, and there's so many sakis are there, and I'm doing this, and I see that Krishna's glancing in the kitchen, and then I indicate to Radharani, I said, "Oh, Radharani, look out the window, you know, Krishna's looking." So then the mind can be there and be here. When you're sleeping, the mind is in your body, maintaining it with a super soul. The heart is working, the nerves, everything's working. Your body doesn't turn off when you go to sleep. You're digesting food. Food is moving through your intestinal tract. There's motion, there's digestion, there's absorption, the heart's beating, oxygen, everything's circulating. But you're dreaming, you're somewhere else. You're not aware of it. You're not consciously aware of the functions of your body going on by the arrangement of God. So when we're cooking, we should be consciously aware of or whatever seva we're doing in the conscious world with our senses and mind. But we should also send our mind, without sleeping, we should send part of our mind there. So this is the practice. And if one has rag, if one has attachment for that realm, for the spiritual realm, and for the spiritual activities, and for the leelas, and he has some awareness and understanding of that, then he can connect. He can connect part of his mind, he can link. We use this term linking. He can link part of his mind with the spiritual leelas of Radha and Krishna, and the other part is linked with this world doing things, and they're both together. I have found that having a fixed identity or siddha sarup, it helps that meditative process, that linking process. And then the external activity one's doing becomes very joyful. Because we're remembering and thinking that I'm in a spiritual body and I'm here in Nandagam, or it's in the afternoon, I'm cooking in the afternoon, I'm helping Radharani prepare the special sweets for Krishna's dinner and whatever. And Radharani's asked me to make this cheese now, so I'm making. So everything is connected there. And the quality of the cooking actually improves, and the quality of the offering actually improves because it's suffused, and that offering or that devotional act which you're offering for the pleasure of Krishna now becomes enriched with and suffused and saturated with deep remembrance of Radha and Krishna's Leela. Deep, whatever, it's a practice. So I thought today for 1 minute, and then I spent an hour cooking. And then next day, I thought. So as one endeavors, then of course Krishna reciprocates. It's the whole thing about bhakti, it's a personal type of yoga. Whereas our endeavor is part of the calculation of success, or one of the factors of success. But the greatest, most important factor of success is our side, we're pushing upward. We're pushing upward with our sadhana, but Krishna is coming downward. So the mercy of Krishna and Guru are coming down to join with our endeavor to make it fruitful and successful. That discussion is given by Jiva Goswami, the Damodar Leela, Damodar Bandana, chapter 9 of 10th canto. He explains that Mother Yashoda was intensely endeavoring to tie up her Lalaji, Nanda Dilal. So many ropes, many, many thousands, thousands of ropes. And she was really doing lots of endeavor. And finally, Krishna said, okay, and he just gave a glance of his mercy, Kripa Kataksha, Krishna Kripa Kataksha. A sidelong glance of Krishna's mercy. And then she was able to bind Krishna. Namamishvaram sat chirananda rupam lasat kundalango kule brajamanam Yashoda biyoluka ladvavamanam paramristam atyantanto drutya gopya. So, Gopi Yashoda, she was able to bind Damodar with her love and her endeavor and his mercy. Love plus endeavor plus Krishna's mercy equals prema, success in bhakti bhajan.